This is the Territory Story Podcast News Bites. Thanks to Opie Dennis Digital Marketing, your local digital marketing agency.
Hello there and welcome. This is the Territory Story Podcast News Bites. My name is Peter Gowers. Hope you're having a great week. Let's get to the NT Independent online newspaper now and chat with the editor, Chris Walsh. Find out what's making news in the NT this week. G'day, Chris.
Hey, Pete. Good to see you again.
Good to see you too. And mate, I know there's a lot going on in the world of news, and no bigger story, which we'll get to, but starting with financial gifts to parties have been revealed ahead of the upcoming 2024 election.
That's right, Pete. So this is the NT Electoral Commission puts this out. So this is the first disclosure in connection to the lead up to that election. And what we've seen here are some interesting things, as you would expect. So these are all financial gifts. Now, what we can see here, and this is surprising, and I'll start with that well, Labor's raised, they've said about 70,000. But incidentally, the Greens have also reported raising 70,000. And that's interesting. And people would be wondering about that. But of course, with the Greens, and you're thinking, oh, are they going to be a contender this time? Now, most of that money, 55,000 of that, was from the federal branch of the party. So, and then they had a couple other donations. But anyway, what we really, I mean, the bulk of what we got to go through was when it was released was, Labor's financial gifts, the $73,000 worth. Now, most of that money is, of course, coming from major gas companies, local developers, and mining companies. So Tamboran Resources, the former chief minister's favorite gas company, of course, her previous political advisor was, his company was contracted to be their lobbyist. So they were the largest single contributor to Labor. Now, this is the reporting period July 1st last year to December 31st. So that company gave the party 6,000. And we know about the connection there. Critical minerals company Tiven, which has interest in the government's proposed middle arm precinct, is also one of the top contributors, giving the party 3,500. Arafura Rare Earths, 4,500. Look, there was even a contribution here by Michael Gunner's disgraced former chief of staff, Alf Leonardi, contributed $2,600 to the effort. And we know that he's also been door knocking with Mark Monahan, I think doing some other campaigning, and in fact raising money too. But we'll get into that more on the weekend, because I don't for the life of me know why anyone would hand over money, a political donation, to Alf Leonardi after what went on with him in the grandstand scandal. Like, you know, Pete, like, you're giving the money and you're thinking, am I going to end up in an ICAC report? Most likely. If you're giving it to Alf Leonardi, most likely you're going to be end up in an ICAC report or charges or whatever else, or an NTEC disclosure. Anyway, 73,000 they raised, 71,000 the Greens raised. The four independents not raised anything that they reported. They reported $0 over that time period. And then the CLP, of course, they just did not report any financial gifts at all. It was unclear why. When at the first day that we saw this, we went to them, didn't hear anything. So they would not say if they didn't report any financial gifts due to not receiving them. We didn't hear from them. So we called up the commissioner and asked him.
And I imagine he would have had a fair bit to say, given that the big two political parties pretty much dominate the spotlight around the country. And if one party's getting zero donations, there's got to be a question to be asked.
Exactly. Yeah. So we sent some questions to Ian Loganathan, and Ian said, look, they've breached it. They've breached the Electoral Act by failing to disclose their money. So they're keeping their donation secret as of now. Now, the reporting deadline was January 30th. I don't think that was a surprise to anybody. Apparently, you know, the NTC, you believe, and they have, you know, sent reminders to all the parties. January 30th is the deadline. We know now that the CLP broke the electoral laws by failing to publicly report how much it raised in financial gifts over that reporting period. Now, the fine for that is $176,000. Now, I'm guessing that's more money than they've raised in a long, long, long time, Pete.
What I was thinking.
Yeah. So we went to the CLP executive, including President Shane Stone. They just refused flat out, I guess, to comment on why the party's keeping secret how much it raised in that period. They've breached now Section 215 of the Act, which exists to inform the public about the source of funding for political activities so they can make informed decisions, of course, when they go to cast their ballot. So, Ian had said, in the NT, political parties and candidates operate without public funding, relying solely on donations to finance their campaigns, to maintain transparency and prevent undue influence. Legislation has been implemented establishing financial disclosure requirements. Now, that's why this is important. I mean, that is just why this is so important. And the CLP don't seem to care. They're just floating the law here. We don't know. Now, still, we haven't heard from them. Like we said here, Ian Loganathan, the commissioner, he's kind of taken the approach of the ICAC, Pete.
I like it.
Well,
he's had another booklet.
Which is taking this educational approach and not going to fine them. They've been issued a formal warning. Now, I don't know if I agree with Ian on this one because, look, the CLP didn't just start yesterday, okay? So I get it's the first reporting period for the lead up to the election. These guys have been doing this. They've had the same treasurer, Tony Skelling, in there for years. There is no excuse for this. Now, yeah, the commissioner said that they had told him that they had a new accountant. Now, that story seems to be in contrast to what Skelling told the NT News. He actually did talk to them for some reason and told them that he didn't think that they really needed to report all the little details that the NTC is looking for. So, Pete, there's going to be more on this because they've mm-hmm. really messed this up, and they've messed this up badly. And right now it's looking like there was a concerted effort here to possibly even mislead the Electoral Commission.
Right. Wow.
So
that is huge. So basically the upshot of all this is the industries and organizations who are diametrically opposed philosophically and in terms of their whole setup, they're donating to the government, and the opposition have decided, we're not sure if we're big on this reporting stuff, so we're not reporting at all.
Yeah, that's pretty much what's going on as of right now. Now, we'll have more tomorrow, so I'm hoping we get into this a little bit more on the weekend. Well, we will for sure, because one way or the other, something else has to come out. Because, like I said, they've breached it. Two, if they're just getting a warning, I'm not sure that that's enough. And three, the stories are changing now from the CLP as to why they didn't report. So, yeah, we'll definitely have more on this, and we'll get into this more on the weekend.
And if it's found out that the CLP are being creative with the truth, we may need to change Tony's first name to Rap, and we'll call him Rap Scallion from then on in.
Yeah, that's it, Pete. That is it.
All right. Well, yeah, we will touch on that in more detail because that is a huge story that we need to really sink our teeth into. Another big story, Chris, that affected 20,000 customers in the NT this week is the major gas disruption that is now being blamed for Monday's massive power outage, according to Parramatta.
Yeah, that's right, Pete. So, look, the Chief Minister, Eva Lawler, has ordered a review into the cause of this. But what happened was, the pipeline owner, APA, indicated that they had some sort of gas supply issue with the pipeline that led to the power disruption that affected 20,000 customers in 19 suburbs, we know, in Darwin, Palmerston, and Catherine. So that electricity grid was shut down for a lot of people on Monday, late Monday afternoon, early evening. But at the same time that they're saying they're going to order this review, the opposition has come out and raised concerns about the stability of the energy grid amid perceived inaction by the Labor government to effectively plan for the NT's energy future. That's a valid point. That's something that we've discussed with that Utilities Commission report last year, saying that, the gas is one thing, but you've also, a lot of these large turbine things out at Channel Island are due to be shut down, and they're the gas-fired ones. And so the idea here is to get that renewable energy in and to start planning for that. The Utilities Commission found that, look, over the next 3 years, within the next 3 years, you're looking at a complete collapse of the grid for up here, Darwin-Catherine grid. And there's issues in Alice Springs as well, as we know. So, this should be a bit of a warning for everybody. Alarm bells going off here when the power went off the way it did. Now, APA has claimed that it was a they experienced an event, they're calling it an event, which okay. resulted in us being unable to deliver the full supply of gas to the Channel Island Power Station. Yeah, they worked through it all, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, Lawler said on Tuesday and the next day that the government would launch an investigation to determine the exact cause of the gas supply interruption. Not sure what we're going to get out of that. Now, the other thing that comes up and that we know, and we've talked about this to people before, is that they are buying gas, right? So the gas was coming from ENI and its Blacktip well, and there were issues there where that gas wasn't just producing, it wasn't coming as much as it should. That was like a $5.5 billion contract that the government entered into years ago for this. And the Blacktip gas field just isn't producing now. So the government was forced and has been forced to buy gas off Santos and INPEX and what they call other suppliers to keep the power station going, to keep the lights on for all of us. And we don't know what that's costing. No idea what that's costing. So when it goes out like that, the questions then become, well, what is going on? How stable and reliable is the network? The renewables and energy minister, Kay Warden, was asked about that specifically. Well, is the Blacktip field done completely now? If you're buying it from other places and it's coming through this pipeline where there was supposedly some issue the other day, she wouldn't say, she just would not even get into that, saying, oh, we're buying gas from a number of suppliers. She kept repeating that over and over, not getting into the details. She rejected the CLP's claims that the government had no plan for energy security, said the recent outage was not an infrastructure issue. Of course, Leah Fanacchiaro has said Labor's been aware of the likelihood of power outages on their watch, yet continues to show they have no plan for the future of our energy security, that they had demonstrated a significant breakdown in infrastructure management. So Warden deflecting that, saying, no, that's not true. We've invested millions of dollars into improving our grid. She said we just haven't seen the results of that, I guess. We do have some older power generation infrastructure, but this issue is not with our infrastructure, which we are modernizing and updating every single day. Territory Generation has a very strong plan, and they're implementing that plan. Of course, she said that they're still monitoring the solar farms, and we know about those three different solar projects that apparently they're connected now, but they're not operating. So I don't know why they plugged them in, but they're not producing anything. And she's saying, well, we're still monitoring that. Now, that's been going on for years. So, look, it's going to cost a lot of money for these upgrades. The Utilities Commission made us all aware of that. But if they don't start doing something, more of these blackouts are going to happen for longer periods, and the whole grid will eventually fail and collapse.
I believe Warden also said under her breath in response to the CLP, we'll worry about the gas. You worry about getting your paperwork in on time.
Yeah, and the CLP, while they're doing that too, could take some time to draft their energy policy, because I'd love to see that
exactly.
as well. Yeah.
Exactly. When you were saying about the comment from the gas supplier saying that, Param Water saying there had been an event that caused some outages, I was picturing sort of something akin to Mr. Burns's nuclear power plant, and I was thinking, imagine being the guy in the control room when you find out about the event. He's going, right, Cullen Bay, Fanny Bay, the city, they cannot be disrupted. Malden, Gray, Karama, switch them off.
If they could pick, yeah. Yeah, it does raise those questions, doesn't it, though? Like, why is it just some and not all? And yeah, I don't know how that all went together. Yeah. And we didn't get those answers really from anybody this week. So, those questions are there, and we'll get into it more. There's going to be more to come on this, because I think it really has raised, people's awareness of this again. This is how easy this could happen. And every day we're just, just how they've got to balance it, right? Like, just to meet the demand, they have to know what the demand is every day, and almost exactly, right, to get that consumption to deliver the energy that they need to at the level that they need to, and getting those things is like, they're just guessing every day. We're just like so volatile here and on the precipice of collapse, I think, every day. And we just don't think about it enough here. And so when something like that happens, we got to ask more questions and find out what's going on.
It's only when an event happens that we start to think, this could happen more often. Anyway, exactly. All right, Chris, I'll catch you on the weekend edition.
Great. Sounds good, people. See you then.
That was Chris Walsh from the NT Independent. Weekends with Walshy back again on Saturday. That'll be released around 7 a.m. Saturday morning. And we'll catch you again next week on the Territory Story podcast News Bites.
That was the Territory Story News Bites for this week. Thanks to Opie Dennis Digital Marketing, your local digital marketing agency.